Welcome to the bonfire. We gather together to draw near to God, to experience more of His presence, because God doesn't have a greater blessing than His presence. He is our treasure. He is our strength. He is our song. And as we gather today, we're focusing on the power of God. And I want to highlight a passage that if you've read the Bible for a long time, it might be more familiar to you. And whenever there's a passage that's more familiar, it's great to look at the details. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 14. This is Jesus feeding the 5,000. And actually that number, 5,000, was the men. There's also women and children. So there was a large group of people that received this food, this multiplication that Jesus brings. But as I read it, think through these details. Try to enter in your mind as well. When Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," Jesus said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Jesus brings miracles. Miracles demonstrate his power. More importantly, the miracles point to his character. He is kind. He is compassionate. He is powerful. And the power of God works through this story with some interesting intricacies. Now, we start out with Jesus in a solitary place. He often withdrew from the people and the needs and the demands and the requests so he could draw close and listen to his Father. Jesus is fully human and fully God. We see his humanity and we see his deity in this passage. He withdraws, and yet here comes the crowds. Why are they coming? They're spiritually hungry. They're intrigued. They're interested. They've never seen one like Jesus. He teaches with authority, not like the religious leaders. And Jesus has compassion on the crowds. When you look around, do you have compassion? When you drive into downtown or a busy intersection, there's lots of people and cars. Are you more focused on yourself, or are you praying for your city, praying for your community? When you think about our nation, are you praying for the nation? Jesus saw the big picture. He cared about the individual. Hearts are changing one at a time. But he also has compassion on the masses. And if you're someone who naturally thinks big picture, you really need to focus in on some individual people. If you're someone who tends to be one-on-one, it's important to start praying on a macro level. Jesus always had both, and we want to be like Jesus. He has compassion. They need food. There's a lot of food required to feed this many people. Where are we going to find the food? Now, here's what I want to highlight today. And I think it's written, although not directly written, but I think it's written in terms of a theme here. Get in the game. Get in the game would be the message for the disciples in this passage. Get in the game. Do you know how many people are just standing on the sidelines? Do you know how many people are watching others serve God and use their gifts? Do you know how many people just attend church and see it more as a passive spectator sport, if you will? I mean, there's so many that have time, talents, treasures. We're all called to be in full-time ministry. God is calling us to get in the game, and not just get in the game on our own strength and with our own ideas, but get in the game in terms of pay attention to what he's saying. Pay attention to what he wants. Pay attention to what's close to his heart. And as we abide with Jesus, his passion becomes our passion. His vision becomes our vision. And his power is going to work even in our weaknesses. We see it in this passage. Now, the disciples have an idea as they look at the facts. There are so many people here who need food. Now, we're far away. So let's send them away. They move from the facts to the solution. We see the need for food. Now here's our solution. Jesus, send them away so they can go to the villages, they can go buy their food, and then we'll figure out things after that. Now, you never want to be in the situation where you're telling Jesus what to do, right? Like, he already sees the situation. You're not going to surprise God. You're not going to say, oh, God, you might not know this about me, but I've been thinking this. God, you might not know this, but I've been feeling this. God, you might not know, but in my family or in my church or in my community, God already knows it all, and God has a plan. We like to run ahead with our plans. That is a common trap, to run ahead. If you've got a challenge in a friendship, a dating relationship, marriage, your finances, your career, something happening in your church, what do you do with that? What do you do with that mess? What do you do with that need? What do you do with that lack? Don't just run ahead and not seek God, not ask God, not look at his word. David, when he was in the battles and the opponents would come and he was attacked, he would inquire of the Lord, God, do you want me to go into this one? God, do you want me to go in direct or do you want me to circle back? What do you want me to do here, God? That checking in, that listening, that submitting, that's where you see the power of God. You don't see the power of God when the disciples run ahead and say, Jesus, come over here, follow our plan. That doesn't work out so well. When you try to take on a solution that's not from God, it's going to lead to frustration, heartache, emptiness, and you're going to miss an incredible opportunity. Jesus is going to step in here, and he's not going to go with their plan. In fact, Jesus circles back, and he rebukes the disciples. He trains them. He corrects them. And he says, you give them something to eat. Can you imagine the disciples' shock on that one? Turned it around. Instead of send the people away, Jesus now shifts it and says, you give them something. Now, you give. That's going to be God's solution. You give. Have you ever hit a solution point where you say, oh, they do it. Okay, someone else is going to cover it. And then God has a way of honing in right on you and saying, you give. You give something. What are you going to give? Your time, your talent, your treasure. Who are you going to give it to? You give. And they look at their resources and they hear Jesus' plan and it doesn't add up. You're going to be in a situation with God where it doesn't seem logical, doesn't seem desirable, doesn't seem efficient, doesn't seem possible. There's tension in that spot. Don't run past that tension. As we follow Jesus, there's going to be different points where there's great tension. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. Because we don't have the resources to accomplish the goal. And God will hold us in that tension. What do we like to do when we feel like we're not enough? And the truth is, we're not enough alone. On our own, we're not enough. I know in the culture, people just keep telling you, you're enough, you're enough, you're enough. That's not what my Bible says. God is enough. God's grace is sufficient. His power is enough. But me on my own, not enough. In fact, the challenges in this world are too great for me to carry alone. Sometimes people will tell you, God won't give you more than you can handle. The truth is, life gives us far more than we can handle alone. And God knows what we can handle, and he knows how much we need him. So when we're in situations when it's more than we can handle, it's just a reminder to go to God and give him those burdens. Ask for wisdom. Ask for encouragement. And in this situation, there's a tension because the disciples don't like, don't understand, don't agree with Jesus' solution when he says, you give something. You give them something. And this is the tension where now God steps in. God does his greatest work when we're at the end of ourselves. God does his greatest work in the darkest moments. God does his greatest work when the challenges seem overwhelming. God shows up. God has solutions. They're different than ours. God's thoughts and ways are higher than ours. And the disciples hear this solution and they're looking around. Let's take inventory. What do we have? What do we have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. That's what they gather. Okay, is that going to be enough? As they look out the crowd and who knows, maybe 10,000 people are there. As you look around in a crowd of 10,000, you've got 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Like, how are you going to feed the masses? And we're not going to feed the masses with just our own resources. But Jesus is teaching them an important principle here. Start where you are, do what you can, use what you have, and pray. How are you going to change the community? How are you really going to see transformation and healing and strong families? And, you know, when you think about parents and kids and siblings and grandparents and families walking together, secure in the love of God, encouraging each other, how is that going to happen? You get overwhelmed sometimes. The needs just on your block alone, you can't meet them all. And then God makes it clear, just do what he's called you to do. Be faithful and start where you are, use what you have, do what you can, and pray. They have the 5 loaves, the 2 fish, and Jesus says, give them to me. When we give to God what we have, God brings the fruit. God multiplies. Bring to God what you have. That's the key step in worship. That's how you express your trust. That's how you honor Jesus. You bring what you have. Don't belittle it. Don't say, oh, God doesn't want it. He wants it. Don't say it's too small. That's fine. That's all you have. You bring him that. There's a parable with the talents, 5 talents, 2 talent, 1 talent. You know what's common in all three? Be faithful to God. Whether you have 1 talent, 2 talent, or 5 talents, God knows. God is the one who gives the talents. And our job isn't to sort out, well, is it 1, 2, 5, 3.4, 4.2, 1.7? That's not our job. Our job is to take inventory, say, these are my talents. Here's my money. Here's my resources. Here's my schedule, my calendar. Like, Lord, you can take it. Here's my bank account. Here's my retirement. Here's my spiritual gifts. Become aware of what you have. They know how many loaves of bread they have. They know how many fish they have. There's a lot of followers of Jesus who don't really take inventory, don't know what they have. And if you don't know what you have, it's hard to bring it to the Lord. They bring it to the Lord. Say, Lord, you take this. You can have this. We trust you with this. And when you do that, that's worship. There's a widow that only has 2 coins, but she brings them to the Lord. And what happens from that? God teaches all the wealthy. God teaches the religious leaders. God teaches us today through this woman that true worship is bringing what you have, bringing who you are, and offering it to the Lord. We are sometimes kind of stingy to worship God. We're a little selfish. Sometimes we think worship is just if we sing the right song that's our favorite song, or if we sing it really well, or if we lift up our hands. Worship is so much more than that. Worship is when we bring all of us on the altar. We are a living sacrifice, and that includes everything we own, because we don't own it. It belongs to God. They bring the 5 loaves of bread, the 2 fish to Jesus. And then what does Jesus do? He always non-anxious, always has a plan, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. God is now thinking through distribution. Jesus is thinking through distribution. He takes the 5 loaves and 2 fish, looking up to heaven. He gives thanks and breaks the loaves. It's always good to pray, and it's always good to give thanks. This is God's will for us. Rejoice always, give thanks in all circumstances, pray continually. If the thanksgiving dries up, if the prayer dries up, if the praise dries up, you're going to have a soul that's drying up. Thankfulness to God. Jesus is honoring his Father, and we want to honor Father God at all times. Then he gave them to the disciples after he broke the loaves, and the disciples gave them to the people. Once again, what's the theme here? The power of God, it's amplified when you get in the game. Get in the game. Instead of, you know, everyone else distributing the food, Jesus, after he breaks it, gives it to the disciples. Now they're going to serve the people. So what have the disciples done so far? Remember, their plan was clean our hands, people leave, people go get food. Jesus said, you give them something. And they brought forth what they had. Now, after Jesus prays, breaks the bread, you distribute. They're serving people. They're humbled because they never thought they would be doing this. They're going with God's plan. They shift. Hope shift. They shift so they're in alignment with heaven. and now they're involved. It's their stuff, their service, it's their time. They are part of the solution. God's solution today for the problems we see is that we are part of the solution. That is something that just needs to land in the body of Christ. We are tired of the model where just the pastors are the spiritual ones and the only ones in full-time ministry, or just the church staff, or you go to church and it's 10%, it's 15% of the people doing all the heavy lifting, and everyone else is thinking, yep, that's their job, that's why they signed up, I just hang out. You're in full-time ministry where you live, work, learn, or play, and God is saying you have great purpose. God gives you passion. God gives you opportunities. God gives you resources. God wants to involve you, and the power of God flows through you the more you get in the game. God is not empowering people to watch. God is not empowering people to be passive. God is not empowering people to sit back and criticize or just be critics of what everyone else is doing. That is not, I can't make it any clearer. When you come before God at the end of your life, you're not going to be talking with God about, oh, what do you think about how everyone else did it? What do you think about this person and that person? How do you compare to someone else? Peter started to compare to John, and Jesus said, Peter, you follow me. We've been looking for someone else to do it. And here the disciples, they get in the game. When you get in the game, it's exciting. When you get in the game, it's life-giving. When you get in the game, Jesus changes people. And Jesus does great works. And then the words and works of Jesus start to travel through the community and change what's happening spiritually. It changes the people's lives. He brings a work that they're never going to forget. And as they distribute, all were satisfied. Everyone ate. Everyone satisfied. The disciples are thinking, you know, this is a pretty good plan, Jesus. This worked out even better than what we thought. Have you had those moments where, whether it's a career choice or a move or dating or a conversation or words or marriage, where you step back and you go, you know, Jesus, when I did it your way, it was so much better than what I was going to do, what I was going to pick. You knew. God knows you. He made you. He designed you. He goes ahead of you. He sees all things. He sees your future. He knows. Trust him. Now the disciples pick up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. That's got to be so humbling. This isn't our plan. I don't think this is going to work. Why are we doing this? We don't have enough food. Now what are they doing? Picking up basketfuls of leftover. Everyone ate, everyone satisfied, and they're picking up the leftovers. So tangible, a way to remind the disciples that God is able, that God is good, that God is our provider, as they pick up basketful and basketful. You know, when it says that they picked up these basketfuls, an important detail, 12. You've got the disciples, everyone's picking up a basketball. It's not like, oh, one basket. Everyone's holding this basket of abundance. And in this basket, here's the affirmation that Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the bread of heaven. Jesus is the one that satisfies. This multiplication of bread, it just points to the nourishment that God wants to bring for our souls. It points to the Messiah, that Jesus is the Messiah. And God is working all of this together for his glory and our good. For the, let's say, 5,000 men and all the women and children, they just experienced and witnessed the power of God. They encountered Jesus for themselves. You need to encounter Jesus for yourself. It's not enough just to hear what God did in someone else's life. Reading the Bible is outstanding. Definitely do that. Notice God's character, his track record. Notice his greatness. Soak it all in. Linger in the pages of Scripture. But we need more than just facts and principles. The Pharisees and religious leaders, they went to the Scripture, but they refused to come to Jesus. And Jesus challenged them that they don't know the power of God. And they don't know, they knew some things about Scripture, But they didn't know Scripture. They didn't know the one who Scripture points to. And we don't want to be people who have the form of religion, but no power. The Holy Spirit comes in power to transform our lives, to break us out of sin, to give us courage and boldness. He comes with power so we can lead people to Jesus. He comes in power in our relationships. When no one's watching, he comes in power so we'll be faithful. His power is strong. His power is available. His power is daily. This is a relationship where the Holy Spirit is in us. And what does God say from the beginning of the Bible? Be fruitful and multiply. That's literal. Yes, be fruitful and multiply in terms of more and more people, more and more generations that love Jesus. But also be fruitful. That's your life. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, and multiply. Lead others to Jesus. Multiply. What God has taught you, multiply. If he's taught you how to pray, teach others how to pray. If he's taught you Scripture, teach others Scripture. If he gives you encouragement, encourage other people. If you are generous with your service and your talents, if you are generous and go the extra mile, you're going to see a greater harvest. If you're kind of halfway in, passive, I played sports my whole life, and the people who don't excel, the people who don't make an impact, don't realize their potential, are the ones that go halfway. They do the minimum, they do a little more than the minimum, they do a medium, and they don't really go for it. And it's culturally popular to not really go for it with Jesus, not really try to build up his kingdom, not really take the relationship risks, not be that countercultural. Jesus wants to do a work in us that we just can't explain on our own strength or on our own abilities. The story here, as the masses are fed, men, women, and children, is the greatness of Jesus. And whenever the power of God is displayed, manifest, demonstrated, the message of the power of God is the glory of God. For Jesus, this wasn't difficult. For the disciples, it was impossible. There's no way this can happen. For Jesus, it's not difficult. This is just another miracle, and another miracle's coming, and another miracle's coming, and he's not going to run out of miracle power. Now, there are times when Jesus doesn't heal, even in the Bible. There's mystery in that. I don't know. There are places where there's not as much miraculous power. It's tied in sometimes to people's lack of faith. There's some mystery there. I don't have all the answers around God's power. I know that God's just not interested in putting on power displays everywhere. He could, but he wants us to go deeper than just his power. We appreciate his power. We're grateful for his power. We want to experience his power in our lives, and it's a yes. But the end goal isn't the power of God. The end goal is the presence of God, and the power of God leads us to God's presence. God shows us who he is through the demonstration of his abilities. And he is all present, all powerful, all knowing. And this leads us to a position of awe. You see, the disciples at the end of this story, at the end of this encounter, it would be so amazing to be there and see that in real time. Now, at the end, what are they going to do? I mean, worship Jesus is all you can do. They shouldn't walk around like, yeah, boy, those five loaves we found, pretty awesome, five loaves. No, pretty awesome Savior. And they can't say, yep, look at us, we got basketfuls, just like we thought. No, this wasn't your plan, guys. It wasn't your plan. They can't boast. They can't brag. When we get to heaven, it's not by works. No one can boast. All we can say, the greatness of Jesus. When you get to heaven, there's one reason you're there for eternity. It's because your Savior died on a cross and he's risen from the grave. And there'll be nothing that we can boast about. And in this story, their role was faithfulness, to learn faithfulness. God's power should encourage us to be more faithful to God. Don't you want to be in a position where you're experiencing God's power? You're offering him your five loaves, your two fish. You don't just want to watch, you want to get in the game. Jesus is teaching the disciples how to get in the game. And when they are in the game, and when they rely on him, and when there's prayer, and when there's thanksgiving, and when there's real worship, then God moves in a community and a group of people in supernatural ways. We should be fed up with just natural, humanistic solutions. We want God to move in supernatural ways. We need a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. We need a movement of the Holy Spirit. You can call it revival leading to reformation. We need an awakening. We need a supernatural work. And just like here, we see that the food for the stomach is now provided. The Bible is food for our souls. Distribute the Bible widely. Give Bibles to your friends and family, neighbors. Support the translation of the Word of God around the world. We want to see the Bible multiplied online. There's more resources now. Share them with other people. A multiplication. You can share this right now, this podcast time together. Share the bonfire with someone. It multiplies. They'll share it with someone else. We get letters, comments all the time about appreciation. I talked to someone last night, says, I'm listening to the podcast and what God was doing in his life. So there's a multiplication. When you read a passage, share it with someone else. A verse, share it with someone else. 28 Days of Hope, we just built the website, justchoosehope.org, 28 days of written devotions and videos. Share it with someone else. Whatever's feeding you, share it with someone else. If you're in a church where you're growing a lot, invite some other people to the church, and God will multiply. God will change lives. God will change souls. God will change destinies. God changes families. God changes cities. There's no limits to what God can do. All these people are fed. They're holding these baskets, thinking there's no limits to what Jesus can do. Jesus can bring overflow. The baskets, it's the overflow. Start to have a mindset of more the abundance of Jesus. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus comes to bring abundant life. For the disciples, the words and the works of Jesus are starting to connect. He has described who he is, the Messiah. Now we're also seeing it through what he's doing. His words and works are consistent. When your words and works are consistent, the power of God is going to be amplified, and we want to follow Jesus faithfully together. Take that next step today. You can read this passage in Matthew chapter 14. Spend some time. Let these truths sink in. You can share this with someone else. You can invite someone to church this week. You could show up and say, you know what, at church, I'm going to start using my gifts. You could join a Bible study. You could start to share your faith and your story. You could go overseas on a missions trip. What is God calling you to do? He says to the disciples, you give something. Let's be faithful to Jesus. Let's celebrate the power of God. Let's give him the glory. Our Savior is worthy. We're so grateful for stories like this, but we're so grateful Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is what the bonfire is all about. There's a fire in these pages in this story, and there's a fire in our lives that comes through the Holy Spirit. There's an overflow. And it's because of God's presence. Linger in God's presence. Listen to him. Do whatever Jesus tells you to do. You're not going to regret it. All glory to God. That's our hearts. That's our desire. Let's do this together. Let's keep growing in our faith.